Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and everybody ought to praise the Lord. This is your host, Apostle W.D. Carter, host of Lift the High the Cross radio broadcast, coming to you live over Blog Talk Radio. And on Monday, we were talking about the strategism of legalism in the harlot church system. We will be continuing talking about that strategy in terms of the call of God upon your life to come out of the harlot church system. Please turn your Bibles to chapter 15 of the book of Acts, and we're going to see a prime example of what legalism is all about. Legalism basically is mixing grace with works. Praise the Lord. Beginning at the first verse, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together to consider of this matter, And when they had been much, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them a witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I would return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." That's a quote from Amos, the 9th chapter and the 11th verse. "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old." Back to Acts, the 15th chapter and the 18th verse. "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles, which from among the unbelievers are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols," because this is what was happening in the culture during that time, during that period of time. "But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old times hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. And so, people of God, so those of you who are trapped in the harlot church system based on your religious identification and affiliation with them, praise the Lord, you need to understand that the Lord does not require anything of you except that you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Legalistic people are those who concentrate on the outward doing of things to attain favor with God. Any attempt to earn our salvation is called works righteousness, self-righteousness. However, Paul wrote the Roman believers asserting that no flesh can be justified by the deeds, by the works of the law. Rather, we are justified freely by the grace of Jesus Christ through the redemption that is in him. Therefore, Paul concluded that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's look at Romans, the 3rd chapter, and the 20th verse. Romans 3 and 20 declares, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ. Hallelujah. And so you see what the text is saying. The text is saying that the Lord God does not require anything of you, anything else of you, other than that you repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the Bible says, praise the Lord, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Praise his holy and matchless name. Legalism is based on performance. It implies that we are rewarded for what we do and are chastised for what we do not do. It is based on works. This is precisely why the churches are dead. Paul wrote, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Whenever we go back under law, whether it is Old Testament law or modern day church law, we fall from grace. We deny the shed blood of Jesus Christ upon our lives. Why? Because we are attempting to make ourselves right before God by capitulating to church law, religious law. Law is doing. Grace is being. This is why, praise the Lord, under religion we go to church rather than being the church. Law has to do with what we should do but cannot do. Grace has to do with what God has already done for us. We call of people to be like Mary, to sit at the feet of Jesus, but we love to have the Marthas around. Most of the activities in the churches depend upon the Marthas. If I try to legislate what you must do to act like a good Christian, then I am under the law and putting you under the law. If, on the other hand, I introduce you to Jesus, who is the perfect law of God, and he legislates his law from within you by changing your nature, then I bring you to the grace of God. Grace is the power of God at work within you to perform his word within you. Faith actively pursues the grace of God. Faith will never pursue law. Anytime you are pursuing the law, and that is to say, anytime you are capitulating to what the institutional church, praise the Lord, imposes upon you in order for you to be right in the sight of God, you have failed the grace of God. You are no longer a believer in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a believer in what you can do or not do to make yourself right before God. This is why, praise the Lord, you identify your salvation with your religious denomination, with the religious denomination that you belong to, rather than with the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, being upon your life. The writer of Hebrews told how the Israelites failed to enter into God's promised rest. If God promised it, then there must be a people who will enter into it. His promised rest is rest from dead works, rest from religious works. That's what dead works are, your religious ritual, your carnal works. Please remember, praise the Lord, that the carnal mind can never be reconciled to the mind of God. And this is where religious rituals come out of. Religious rituals comes out of the carnal mind. Praise the Lord. Therefore, they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Legalism attempts to perfect the flesh. Legalistic people are those who attempt to perfect themselves and one another by the flesh. Paul wrote, "O foolish Galatians, this what I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Those of you that have been filled with the Spirit of the living God, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by your religious, by capitulating to your religious ritual in the institutional church, in your denomination, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? We think that we know what God expects of us mentally, physically, spiritually, and morally, and we try to legislate that in our own and one another's lives. We invent codes of dress and behavior that we think exemplify holiness. Unless a change of nature has taken place on the inside of us, however, the changes on the outside are in vain. We are phony. The inside of us always has a way of shining through that thin, transparent, gilded exterior we exhibit to others. In other words, praise the Lord, it doesn't matter how good you look on the inside, praise the Lord, or rather, it doesn't matter how good you look on the outside, you have to be concerned about how you look on the inside. Legalistic people are always concerned about externalities rather than internalities. God is the only one who can change us on the inside. Let me say it again. God is the only one who can change us on the inside. Sure, we can make ourselves look good and look righteous on the outside, but God is the only one who can make us look good on the inside. He made a promise to Israel through Jeremiah, praise the Lord, Ezekiel 36:25-27. He made a promise to Israel through Jeremiah. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. That's what sanctification is all about. The Lord puts his laws in our mind and writes them on our heart. This is what it means. This is what the Lord means when he says, I will take out the heart of stone and put in you a heart of flesh. I will be their God and they will be my people. Jeremiah 31 and 33. This was accomplished by Jesus Christ, who was and is the Word made flesh. The Word of God is engrafted in all who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive with meekness the engrafted, the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Your works can't save your souls. Your religious organization can't save your soul. Only the engrafted Word, which is implanted in your soul, in your heart, can save your souls. The law of God has been deposited within our human spirits, and we have been transformed by it. Therefore, we no longer live according to the outward working of the law, but by the inward working of God's law. That's what grace is. Grace is the operational power of God and the unmerited favor of God. Legalism is divisive. Legalistic people tend to be divisive. They may not intend to be divisive, but their legalistic ways cause division. The more legalistic they are, the more they tend to splinter over little non-essential things. One of the major ways that legalism has manifested itself contemporarily, praise the Lord, is in the gospel of prosperity. The gospel of prosperity says that the reason why you don't have a car, house, money, and all of that is because you don't believe enough. But the Bible says, praise the Lord, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, glory be to God, you will be successful in the Lord. And so what happens because of that kind of doctrine, what happens in the Harlem church system is that those who have are separated from those who have not. Those believers who have materially are separated from those believers who don't have materially. Yet the Word of God declares that those who have in abundance, their abundance is to be a supply for the believers that lack, praise the Lord, that there may be an equality, glory be to his matchless name. I was told the story of two sectarian Christian groups living in distant communities from each other who tried to work out a plan for their young people to many outside of their home communities. The leaders of these two groups were unable to come into agreement with such a plan because of a religious issue. One group believed that the men should have the five pins on their coats, and the other group believed in only four. Two churches of Christ exist in a small Tennessee town where, according to their own doctrine, only one should have existed. One group believed it was okay to have a kitchen in their church building, and the other did not. So they split. Silly and petty rules in the churches often cause divisions and deep hurts, which sometimes lead to rejection of individuals by their own families. Churches of every kind have divided over non-essential issues. Churches, by their very nature, are programmed to splinter. Paul explained to the Corinthians, "We being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." 1 Corinthians 10:17. Later he wrote, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. but now are they many members, but now are they many members, yet one body, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Paul appealed to the Ephesians to forbear one another in all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace because of one inescapable truth. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 2 to 6. There is only one body. This one body of Christ is not and cannot be many bodies. Therefore, if that which you are in can be divided, it is not the real thing. Let me say it again. There is only one body. This one body of Christ is not and cannot be many bodies. Therefore, if that which you are in can be divided, it is not the real thing. It is not the body of Christ. And you have got, praise the Lord, you have got to take that reality into account in your experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to take that into account. You've got to look at that. You've got to face that reality. How is it, praise the Lord, that you are in a religious organization which identify themselves as the church, and yet there is a split in the church over legalistic non-essentials? How can that happen? It happens because you're not in the real body of Christ. You're a believer, but you're in a religious organization that's not the body of Christ. It's just that, a religious organization that is ripping you off for your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Legalism leads to isolationism. Legalistic leaders in extreme situations tend to isolate themselves and those who follow after them. Fear controls their behavior. These leaders fear that those under their influence might leave them. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. And you as a believer have experienced this. The leadership doesn't want you to leave their organization. Why is that? Why is it that you cannot leave their religious organization and yet still be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Spirit of the living God? Why is it that? Why is it like that? It's like that because they depend on you and your tithe and your gift and your talents to promote their agenda rather than to furthering the kingdom of the living God. Rather than preparing you, praise the Lord, for the work of the ministry, they are preparing you to do the work to fulfill their personal religious agendas. And you're going for it. You're going for it because you have not applied your heart to understanding the text for yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The more protective they feel they have to be, the more restrictive they become. The more protective the leadership feels that they have to be over your life, the more restrictive they become over your life. They restrict the questions their followers are allowed to ask, the people they are allowed to know, the literature they are allowed to read, and the things they are allowed to listen to. They must protect those under their thumb from outside influences that would cause them to doubt or, worse yet, leave the fold. Violators are made to feel blasphemous, made to feel like you're not saved, made to feel like the devil has taken you, like you've submitted your lives to the devil. How many of you are going through that experience right now? This is why the Spirit of the Living God is having someone like myself to preach this message, to teach this message to you. Come out of the harlot church system. Hallelujah. We are to be holy, sanctified. Holiness and sanctification are from the same Greek word that means separation. Hebrews 12:14 reads, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We are to separate ourselves from sin and the world unto God. But this kind of separation is not isolation. We are to be in the world as light and salt, but not of the world. We shouldn't originate from the world. We cannot be the body of Christ in isolation. We are a body, his body, sent to accomplish his work in the world. We cannot accomplish his work as his body if we isolate one from the other. In spite of modern ecumenism, churches attempting cooperation while maintaining their differences, churches, by their very nature, cut themselves off one from another. This is why, praise the Lord, we cannot impact our communities. The Word of God tells us that we are to occupy until the Lord comes. Yet it is Satan that is occupying all of our communities. We don't have an impact on our communities. What I mean by that, praise the Lord, is the community that you live in is overrun by drugs, overrun by abortion, overrun by the perverse lifestyle, overrun by what the devil has implemented in the community through the people, praise the Lord, who go to church and yet are not the church. We are to be an occupying force in every community. Why? Because the Lord has declared that we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light in darkness. Come on here. Praise the Lord. We are the salt. We are the salt is a preservative. We are supposed to be able to preserve our communities through our relationship with God the Father, through our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our lives. Hallelujah. Legalism is empty, mechanical ritual, ritualism. Legalistic people do works out of a joyless sense of duty, thinking that God will be pleased with their performance, or that he might grant them a merited favor. It is empty ritual. So it is with foot washing. Some traditions believe that foot washing is an ordinance like water baptism and the Lord's Supper. They may set aside arbitrary times once a month, every 3 months, or once a year to wash one another's feet. When the Holy Spirit leads someone to wash another's feet, it can proved to be powerful and meaningful and usually conveys a message of spiritual significance. But to impose foot washing as a requirement for being saved, for being right, or for being spiritual is to turn into legalistic dead works. The same can be said for any act of worship or service. When things are done mechanically, they are generally meaningless works of flesh. The foot washing is meant to symbolize our service one to another. That's all. We are to serve one another by love. That's what foot washing symbolizes. It should not be some legalistic religious ritual that we have to fulfill in order for us to be saved. And you need to understand that. Many other such like things they do. Remember that? When Jesus was asked by the scribes and the Pharisees, he was asked the question of why his disciples didn't wash their hands. Okay? Because they, you know, they honored hand washing and wash cups and all kind of foolishness. He said, how come your disciples don't keep the tradition of the elders? Glory be to God. And you need to understand it is their tradition that contraband and contradict the word of God in your life. That's why the word is not effective in your life, because you have capitulated to the commandments, to the tradition of men, rather than to the commandments of God. I have come to the end of my time. Praise the Lord. I pray that the message has edified you. and has given you a confirmation on what the Spirit of God has been dealing with you about as you are in the harlot church system. Come out from among them and be separate. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.